Today is the Sunday after the Feast of the Ascension. The revised Mass attendance and confessions announcement, you can see it on the website for details. And if you have any questions, you may contact us. You may also view the Sunday and daily Masses on the live stream on our website. There is no longer any need to sign up on the sign up app on the website if you would like to attend Mass or go to confession. That's not necessary. Please check the sign up app on the website to see what group is assigned to Mass each week. That is not exactly right because it's not on the website right now. So what you'll have to do is check the announcements. If you have not known already, things change almost hourly during these last 10 weeks. We will continue to have two Masses on the weekdays at 7:20 and 8:30 a.m. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, the Novena to the Holy Spirit to prepare for the Feast of Pentecost continues this week, so please join us. Those of you who wish to assist us in cleaning the chapel may do so at the usual time after the 8:30 Mass on Mondays. So we're resuming that because now we have people returning to the chapel. And again, this says to sign up on the sign up app, but that's not on the website right now. It's not ready for that. So if you're interested in helping to clean the chapel on Mondays, you will just have to tell us, write us a note, send us an email. First Holy Communion Sunday has been postponed to a later date, hopefully in June. We will announce the date as soon as possible. I think everyone knows because of the phone call and contact with everyone. But if you need any information, just check the website. You do not need to sign up for Mass anymore. We have, as someone told me yesterday, it's reserved seating. Reserved seating in the house of the King. Okay, I just want to, I am going to take some points out of this revised thing just to point out. So nobody has to have any fear. This is considered a critical service, and so everything we're doing is completely within the guidelines. And we're in constant contact with legal advisors, health advisors, and insurance people, so that anything you see being done is being done with complete backing. So the Sunday Masses now are reserved seating, and they are by these groups that we have divided everyone into. The 10:45 Mass has the sermon. So you are group D. But next week, you will not be at this Mass. You will be at the 7 a.m. Mass. Group A will be at the 8:15 Mass. Group B will be at the 9:30 Mass. And group C will be at the 10:45 a.m. Mass. And this is on the website. You just have to see it. But I'm telling you ahead of time. So you will be at the 7 a.m. Mass next week. And daily Masses, people can come. You just have to kneel where the mark is in the pew. And the confessions are 30 minutes before each of the Masses. And just if the priest isn't there right away, he's coming from saying Mass or doing something. So just wait for him. Or else you can call for an appointment. And for the cleaning, the disinfecting, if you want, after each Mass, you may be asked to help us, or if you want to volunteer, you can, and seminarians will show you. Seminarians know everything that's going on. So if they ask you, please, they'll show you what to do. You just have to spray where people were seated. Okay. The saints for this week, Tomorrow is the feast of St. Gregory the VII, the great pope, who had to excommunicate an emperor, and to get that lifted, the emperor had to wait in the snow to see the pope, who then lifted it, and then he was persecuted by that emperor and died in exile. And the animosity, just to let you know, a PS, the animosity of the emperor against the papacy and against this pope lasted. This pope died in 1085. The recognition of his sainthood was never accepted in that empire until the 19th century. That was the animosity of the emperors of that so-called Holy Roman Empire. Tuesday is the feast of St. Philip Neri, the second apostle of Rome. And just remember what he said. He'd start his prayers in the morning and say, "Lord, you know Philip." That's me. That's St. Philip Neri. He said, "Watch him. He can turn on you at any time." Wednesday is the feast of St. Bede the Venerable, who was given by his wise parents to be educated by the monks, and he stayed and became this great saint and scholar. And his name, Bede, means prayer. So he is a prayer. Thursday is another great saint of England, St. Augustine of Canterbury, sent there by St. Gregory the Great, another pope saint. Friday is the feast of St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi, who was a Carmelite sister, and her body is incorrupt. Some of the priests have visited her. And then Saturday is the Vigil of Pentecost and also the feast of St. Joan of Arc, virgin. Even though she was burned at the stake, she's not a martyr. And we'll just make note of the fact, of course, that the people condemning her and sending her to the stake were bishops. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter. "Beloved, be prudent and watchful in prayers, but above all things, have a constant mutual charity among yourselves, for charity covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without murmuring. According to the gift that each has received, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let it be with the words of God. If anyone ministers, let it be as from the strength that God furnishes, that in all things God may be honored through Jesus Christ our Lord." Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 15, verses 26 and 27, and chapter 16, verses 1 to 4. "At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, 'But when the Advocate has come, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness concerning me. And you also will bear witness, because from the beginning you are with me. These things I have spoken to you, that you may not be scandalized. They will expel you from the synagogues. Yes, the hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think he is offering worship to God. And these things they will do because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have spoken to you, that when the time for them has come, you may remember that I told you.' Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen." So in the midst of all these papers that I brought. I also brought, and we don't like to read at people, but some people say things better. And that's going to be things here about, this is a secular day tomorrow, Memorial Day. We want to make a comment about it. And before I forget, I just heard this week from someone who informed me, this is just a note, Memorial Day is the remembrance of all of those people in the armed services who have given their lives for us. And even from ancient times, the pagans felt a certain respect and honoring of the war dead, and they would honor them by burial and different things. And it was known here in the United States as Decoration Day, because people would go out and decorate the graves of the fallen, the deceased soldiers. But before I just comment about that, I just want to make this note, which I heard this week from someone, not to forget the military chaplains who are also risking their lives, and some of them giving their lives, and they're doing it for spiritual reasons. They're trying to look out for the souls of these soldiers. And the context that I heard about today was the case of four chaplains. I don't know anything about them, except that this person was trying to defend them against the country and the government that they had served in trying to preserve freedom in the way they could, because they now are being persecuted for trying to stand up for spiritual principles and morals. And so this man said to me, they fought for freedom and they cannot exercise their own freedom. So we want to pray for people like that too. And Memorial Day is not the time for us, as probably you already know, anything you hear from up here from the sanctuary is something we've all heard over the years from our fellow superior, and he would be doing it much better because of his own background, but we must supply. So we're not going to be talking about, because Memorial Day is not about the just war theory, what things are supposed to be there to make what we do in war justified. We're not talking about that. We're talking about poor soldier who has to go out and fight. And that's the day we honor them, and we as Catholics do more than that. We pray for them. That's what it's about, praying for these people. And our Lord had a special devotion and love of these soldiers. That's worth a sermon. How our Lord dealt with soldiers. What did St. John the Baptist do with soldiers? The soldiers sought him out. What are we to do? They asked him, and he told them, be pleased with your salary. Do not plunder anybody. So we like to do two things in contrasting how we look at Memorial Day. But first, we want to go back 75 years ago. It is 75 years ago for this Memorial Day. World War II had just ended, May 1945, World War II in Europe. In the Pacific, it was still going. But this was Memorial Day after the peace had come to Europe. And a general, his name is Lucian Truscott, was called to give a talk where there was a temporary burial of many soldiers after a battle that had taken place there in Italy the year before. He had been the commander there. And he had a whole bunch of dignitaries, U.S. congressmen, everyone sitting there. And he was talking to them on this Memorial Day. And in the middle of his talk, he turned his back on all the dignitaries. And he spoke to all the white crosses, the dead soldiers, and he apologized for for getting them killed. So people go off to war and this big flourish and everything else, but people pay a price. These are the words of another famous general, MacArthur. The soldier above all other men is required to practice the greatest act of religious training, sacrifice. In battle and in the face of danger and death, he discloses those divine attributes which his Maker gave when he created him in his own image. No physical courage and no brute instinct can take the place of the divine help which alone can sustain him. However horrible the incidents of war may be, the soldier who is called upon to offer and to give his life for his country is the noblest development of mankind. This does not mean that we are warmongers. On the contrary, the soldier above all other people prays for peace, for he must suffer and bear the deepest wounds and scars of war. But always in our ears ring the ominous words of Plato, that wisest of all philosophers, only the dead have seen the end of war. Good words, profound words, but not rising above the natural. Now, these are the words of another soldier, not a general, Catholic convert, poet, killed in World War I, you know, Joyce Kilmer. This is his poem entitled, The Prayer of a Soldier in France. Now, hear how a Catholic soldier takes the same thing. Very lofty thoughts from this general, but now here's how the Catholic. My shoulders ache beneath my pack. Lie easier cross upon his back. I march with feet that burn and smart. Tread holy feet upon my heart. Men shout at me who may not speak. They scourged thy back and smote thy cheek. I may not lift a hand to clear my eyes of salty drops that sear. Then shall my fickle soul forget thy agony of bloody sweat. My rifle hand is stiff and numb. From thy pierced palm red rivers come. Lord, thou didst suffer more for me than all the hosts of land and sea. So let me render back again this millionth of thy gift. Amen. These people deserve our prayers. Now we want to say something about the Blessed Virgin Mary. This month is dedicated to her. And I want to tell you, we'll know in heaven, but how much credit should be given to the Blessed Virgin Mary that we are here right now, that everyone's able to come to Mass on this Sunday in May? Hopefully everyone's been praying to the Blessed Mother, saying the rosary every day, whatever other devotions. And how many of those prayers are being answered right now? And how many more things will be given to us if we are faithful and devout to the Blessed Virgin Mary? So we want to be aware of that. We want to think of why. Why has this month, it's based on the fact that nature is returning everything, but what's happening in the supernatural order? We have gone through Lent and Easter, and our Lord has risen from the dead. He has given us new life, and he gave it and came first to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and she is the best example of the spiritual life and our model and our mother in practicing it. So here, as we start this first month after Easter, the Blessed Mother is given to us. And how more dramatically than after the Ascension? The apostles all gather around her for this novena, preparing for the Pentecost. Our Lord purposely left her in the world to help the early church. Of all the people that went with him into heaven on Ascension Thursday, she should have been the first one with him. But no, she stayed with the children. So we should be extremely devout during the rest of this month, always, but to the Blessed Mother, asking her to show us the way, huddling around her with the apostles, teaching us to pray, how to do things that we're supposed to do. And now, talking about this Mass, because there's a theme here for this week, of course, as always, prayer is critical. I see Saint Bede the Venerable, Saint Prayer. We see the Mass text, and the stational church for today, checking the time. We knew we had too much to say. We have to condense. But the liturgists tell us that the ancient church, as the stational church for today, was St. Mary of the Martyrs. You know it as the Pantheon, this pagan temple to all the gods, and the church baptized it, moved all the martyrs' bodies there, and dedicated to the Blessed Mother as the Queen of Martyrs. And this was the stational church for this day. Don't know really why, but if you know the church, that it has this, the largest dome from the pagan world up till Hagia Sophia, I think. And in the center, there's an opening to the sky. So was this chosen because this was a sign of our Lord ascending right through that opening? Because the Church of the Ascension in the Holy Land is like that. It has an opening at the top of the dome, showing, giving an easy access for our Lord to ascend. But the liturgists tell us that in this church was kept the veil of Saint Veronica before it was moved eventually to Saint Peter's Basilica, but it used to be kept in this church. And so they say to us, when we hear the introit, and it says, "Your face, O Lord, we seek." The liturgists are telling us that was the veil of Veronica in this church that the people were singing in the introit. And hear our cry, what is our cry? Praise to our Lord, alleluia. And you are the light, you are our light, you will show us the way, you will dispel fear. Because at these moments, the apostles are huddled in fear in the cenacle. So they're waiting, and we know it's going to happen. They're going to be reinvigorated by the coming of the Holy Ghost on Pentecost. We see the collect talking about, give us, unite our wills to yours, and give us strength to serve you. And then it goes right into the epistle about St. Peter teaching the flock to do exactly that. First he said, be prudent. He says, be smart. Pray. That's the first thing he tells them. Pray. Then practice charity. Love God, love neighbor. Because charity covers up all of your sins. And don't do things murmuring, complaining. He's telling us all these very practical things at St. Peter, telling us how to serve, that when we speak the words of God. When we serve as God would do, and let everything be for the greater glory of God, to honor the name of Jesus. This Sunday is called Sunday after the Ascension. This is a renewal, as you've seen in other feasts. You know, we have Easter, we have Low Sunday, which is a renewal of Easter. We have the Sunday after Christmas, it's a renewal of Christmas. This is a renewal of Ascension. We're celebrating again. And so it goes into that with the Paschal Alleluia, talking about this, our Lord, now in heaven, reigning from the right hand of God the Father, and then looking down to us, even though it's a glorious mystery, there's some melancholy. And he says, do not worry. Our Lord, reigning from heaven, said, do not worry. I will not leave you orphans. And then the gospel, him, his teaching the apostles that he will send the advocate. He will send the third person of the Blessed Trinity, the Spirit of love, who will take, infuse us all. Give us that strength, that courage to go forth. We are soldiers of Christ. Everything we hear about Memorial Day, that's what we should be like for supernatural reasons. To spread the kingdom of God. And so our Lord tells that and he says, yes, how can anyone expect to be treated better than I, your master? If this is how they have treated me, do not be surprised at how you'll be treated. And they will do it thinking, maybe fooling themselves, that they're honoring God. I'm thinking here of our Saint Joan of Arc, putting her to death. That's harder to rationalize. You know, they thought they were honoring God by burning her to death. But our Lord says, don't be surprised about that. And he says, I'm telling you ahead of time so that when it comes, you will remember. You will remember. These last 10 weeks have been very strange. How many times have you remembered that things like this can happen? And remember and say, I know, God, you have not abandoned us. We may be being punished for not appreciating. I'm looking here to see what else can be put in. We cannot talk about the secret of the Mass, talking about showing us, enlightening us as we proceed, because as if you heard the sermon on the Ascension, this is the hallmark period of the illuminative way, when God purifies the soul by an increased amount of light that burns away all of these worldly attachments. That's a sermon. Can't do it. Just to tell, just to give you little nuggets of what is in the Mass, the treasures in the Mass. Just ask God, give it. I don't know them all. Give me. And then in the communion, okay, the communion is little excerpts from our Lord's prayer just before he started his passion. And the Holy Mother of the Church has that as the gospel for the vigil of the Ascension. It's called Christ's Priestly Prayer for Unity. I can't say except that I recall a sermon on that from 45 years ago. I still remember it. So a sermon just there, there's another sermon. But at the end of that communion verse, it's quoting our Lord saying, I am not asking that they be plucked out of the world. No, they have to live in the world as I myself have lived in the world. He said, I ask that they be kept from evil. And God's prayer is efficacious. We will be protected from evil as long as we ask for help. It's conditioned. It's not conditioned on God's will. God has said, keep them from evil. We will be kept from evil. It's conditioned on our prayer. Again, we have to pray. And then the post-communion, summing up really, another type of prayer, the prayer of thanksgiving. It says, we've been here receiving all these gifts, and we have a lot more gifts that we received today. How many people are saying to themselves, I never appreciated the Mass as much as when it was taken away from me. And people saying, I'm going to be different now. Yes, we should be. But that post-communion says, we are grateful. God, we are grateful. And I just want to say something that I forgot till now, being grateful. I who here is around for World War II? You have to be over 75. But I felt the sting as a child when the priest got up to say that he remembered. I had nothing to do with it, but I felt it because of the brotherhood we all share, and especially in the mystical body. And I hear the priest saying, he remembered the days of World War II, and he would come out for the daily Mass, and the church was completely packed, just like a Sunday Mass. Because everybody had want, everyone had problems. Everything was hanging in the balance. And he said, and the day that the war ended, the churches were empty. We have to be grateful. And just, if you probably already know it, the world did not shut down during World War II. It has been shut down now. And people were not able to go to church now. Make your own comparison and put into practice a different life where God always comes first, no matter what. And we pray all the different types of prayer, praise, petition, thanksgiving, that we will always be faithful. And with Holy Communion, we will be. That is the pledge of our future glory. May God bless you.
Patrum, per patrimonia facta sum, qui propter nos homines